You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. here on the West Coast and various other times around the world. If you're listening to this show today as a podcast, well, then thank you for finding our program and making it a part of your day. We also encourage you here at Critical Mass, Coast to Coast, to listen to our programs live. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better decisions. I would like to thank our sponsors, Smart Business Magazine and Succession Strategies, for supporting the program. If you're listening to us today live here on OCTalkRadio.net, then you have the added privilege and opportunity of possibly participating in the conversation that I have today with our featured guest. The way to do that is simple. Find the community chat room section of OCTalkRadio.net's website, log in, post your thoughts. Our producer, Paul, at the Nerve Center in the studio of OCTalkRadio.net will bring them to my attention, and possibly I can work them in with our guest, Michael Donato, of National PC Solutions. And if not, don't feel bad. It's just that we got off on a tangent in our conversation and we didn't have time to bring in your thoughts, but we really do make every effort where appropriate. So, as I said, let's turn our attention to our featured guest. Michael, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's begin by asking you to share with our audience a bit about your professional path to National PC Solutions.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I've actually been involved with technology for as long as I can remember. Probably about the sixth grade, I started buying and selling computer systems. I'd go to school auctions. I'd buy pallets of 20 non-working systems. I'd work on them in my parents' garage. I'd rebuild a few of them. I'd sell them in the paper and make a little bit of money. Always thought of it as more of a hobby or a passion. But as I grew a little bit older, I saw it as an actual business opportunity. So when myself and my business partner, when we started the company, we actually started as a residential and commercial IT company. So we'd go and we'd build and sell computers, and we'd work doing networking and those types of things for businesses around Tucson, Arizona, where we started, and found, you know, a lot of success in that area. About 5 years ago, we fell into a state contract where they asked us to come in and take a look at some web development quotes that they were getting for a small business development program they had. They wanted us to break them apart and help them compare apples to apples for people that really didn't have any experience in that industry. And when we got in there, when we started taking a look at these things, we realized that something that probably should have been $3,000, $5,000. One of the quotes was 10, another was 20, and another was 30. So we saw an enormous lack of integrity in that portion of the industry and decided that when that contract ended, what we wanted to do was really, you know, take our business to the next level and get involved in that spectrum of the IT industry and move solely into internet marketing and web development.
All right, so that brings us to my next question very nicely. Thank you.
Oh, no
Tell
problem.
Us about what you do today. What does National PC Solutions do?
Yeah, so today we are a full-scale internet marketing firm. Everything from a term that's becoming a little bit more common now, SEO, which is getting our clients to show up on Google and Yahoo and Bing, all the way through web development, email marketing, video production, text message marketing, pretty much anything tech related on the marketing aspect, you know, you name it and we do it. We've grown from that small IT company, two of us, to we have about 100 in the company now with our corporate office in Tucson where we started, an office located in Tempe, Arizona, and we just recently launched about 2 months ago an office in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So the listening audience for this program, Critical Mass Coast to Coast, tends to be top executives of small and mid-market companies, you know, somewhere between
a couple million dollars, $5 million a year in annual revenue to up to maybe as large as $100 million. So okay. From your experience, Michael, help us, help them and me and my producer and anybody else that's listening today live or in the future as a podcast, what can they or should they expect to get from working on search engine optimization?
You know, the biggest thing, and I think, you know, the biggest thing that we want to make sure that everyone looks at is, you know, really you need to take a look first off of what your goals are. You know, so doing a small internet marketing or SEO campaign, you know, will garner you good results, but will not bring you, you know, domination in the market or, you know, an extensive return. But if you can realistically bring, you know, 10, 15 times your monthly output in return from an SEO campaign, you're going to be doing well. So really the focus of any of these online marketing campaigns should be increasing that exposure so that you can get in front of a market that's actively looking for you. You know, one of the big things, and, you know, we firmly believe and firmly state all the time that every marketing, you know, type has its source, you know, be it billboards, radio, TV, all of them have their specific attributes and things that you should look to garner from them. But from SEO in specific, really what we're looking at is getting in front of a market, you know, that's actively searching for you. So instead of this outbound form of advertising, you're looking at an inbound form of marketing, where, you know, for example, if you were, you know, a plumber, we'll use a small business as an example. If you were a plumber out of Phoenix, somebody's water pipes burst, they would go onto Google and they look for a plumber. If you're on that first page, you have the ability to get that client, pick up that business, and feed that ad into your, you know, to your monthly revenue stream.
It's interesting to me, and I'm so glad that you're our guest here today. I want to thank Steven Pincus, our Renaissance Executive Forums partner in the Arizona area, for bringing you to our attention so that we could have you as our guest on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. But, you know, these terms, SEO, social media management, internet marketing services, email marketing, to a lot of the smaller businesses across the country, this is my opinion of what I've heard, and so help me to explain it to them a little bit, if you would, Michael. It feels a little bit like snake oil, a modern version of snake oil to them, only because either they haven't investigated it enough to really realize what it takes to get the results, or maybe they've dipped their toe into it a bit and didn't have the right partner, or for whatever reason, maybe weren't able to achieve the results that they had intended or were told they could. So from being in the industry now for a while and sort of coming in from the outside and helping people to get results, what recommendation would you make to a smaller business about these various new tools that they might be able to use?
But that's actually, I really appreciate that you brought that up, because that's a huge challenge that we face within our industry. You know, one of the biggest problems is that, you know, touched a computer before is now a self-proclaimed SEO expert. They can get you on the first page, they can do wonderful things, and they're going to bring you a flood of business, right? You know, I always like to say that if there was a magic button, we would all just sit there all day and push it. Right? That's what we would do. None of us would have to do any other form of marketing, and we'd all make as much money as we possibly wanted. You know, the big things that we want to make sure that we look out for, especially as a small to medium-sized business, when you're looking to bring in an SEO firm, number one, first and foremost, you know, the biggest red flag for me is if you hear things like, I guarantee first-page placement. You know, I guarantee a flood of business. I guarantee that you're going to need to hire on more people. You know, those types of things are unrealistic. You know, until the day, and I always like to say, until the day that Google gives me a call before they make a decision, we really can't guarantee anything. We can do our absolute best. We can do everything that we possibly can, but we're working through a third party, something that we do not have control over. So hearing those types of things is always something that a small to medium-sized business owner should look at and make the decision to steer away from that firm. The other thing you really want to take a look at is do your research on that company. One of the big benefits of the internet is that everything, good or bad, on any company is readily available. Type in their name, take a look at their BBB, look at other things that other businesses or other people that they've worked with have said about them. Take a look at their personal rankings. Take a look at any awards or achievements that they've garnered to make sure that they're legitimate, to make sure that they truly can do what they say they can do. Because if every person that says that they could get you on the first page could, there'd be a lot more than 10 spots on that page. So really, we want to make sure that our potential clients or clients out there, people that are thinking about getting into this industry, take the time to take a look, compare apples to apples, do some research on the company that they're looking at, and pick the one that they feel the most comfortable with. Not the person who's the best at telling them, not the person who tells them everything that they want to hear, but the person is realistic and who has a good, solid foundation of a firm behind them to be able to back them up.
Great advice, and I appreciate your candor because, I have heard personally stories from my clients and people here in the West Coast. You know, they hire a college student or a child, a son of a daughter of a friend who knows, you know, social media, and it's really kind of interesting. But I'm going to take this in a little bit different direction before we take our first sponsorship break, and I appreciate your willingness to kind of be flexible here with the questions that we're asking today, but I'm so excited to have someone with your knowledge. I get the firm impression that not only are these technological tools an advantage for a small company, a mid-sized company, to be able to be found in the marketplace by qualified people who are in the purchasing mode, but I also think, Michael, that if you get comfortable with the concepts, not only for your firm, you can begin to understand the competitive landscape in your markets, in your niche, for your competitors. You can not only use these tools to improve your positioning and your notoriety, if you will, and availability in the market, but you can also start to see who else in cyberspace that you're competing against are doing it right, you know, are using an employing technique. Practices. So it's sort of another way to do a competitive GQ, a SWOT analysis in some ways on your market. Have you done that for any clients, or do you share my view, or am I misunderstanding sort of the power of these tools?
No, you are right on target with that. So, you know, any good SEO campaign is going to start with a detailed competitor analysis, right? If you're looking to expand the market that you're competing against, right? If you're going from competing against the people that are within your block, or 10 miles of your business, or 20 miles of your business, and you decide to take the step to move online, you've now expanded your potential client pool, but you've also expanded your competition base. So by having a really detailed understanding of not only who your competitors are in that space, but what they're doing, who they're targeting, and with different tools and resources, you can even get an idea of what results they're garnering from it. It gives you the ability to really come in well-informed and do the right things to get to where you need to be. And that's vitally important with each and every one of these campaigns. And just like you said, as you progress and as you move deeper into that landscape, you get a better and better idea of those competitors, the tactics that they're using, maybe things that they're taking advantage of that you are not, that you can really step into and, you know, really increase your competitive edge within your niche market.
I also think it helps to frame reasonability. If you do your competitive scan and you come back and you present a report to an entrepreneur that says, okay, these are the hits that I'm finding, these are the keywords, this is the kind of activity that's around your niche, it would be reasonable to assume that, assuming somebody in that marketplace is using some level of best practices, which I think in today's age is a fair assumption, that that's about the range of performance that you can expect to get unless you're willing to do some innovative things or maybe find a different way to crack the code. But it's not like you're going to, in my opinion, be able to significantly outperform your competitors if they're already in the game a bit. And I would be hard-pressed to think of many entrepreneurs who don't have cyber competition already, who aren't using some level of internet marketing, SEO, good web development, and the rest of that. Is that a fair assumption as well?
Oh, completely, completely. And there's virtually no online landscape that isn't currently being actively, targeted. Each and every business in each and every area, each market is really being pushed towards because there is a lot of business out there and there's a lot of business to be had. So kind of going back to what we touched on in the beginning when we looked at the companies that may not be completely reputable, you know, coming in and saying, listen, you can do less, but you can get more results, just is not realistic, right? So how do you want to compete? What is your competition doing? And how much are you willing to invest in order to see the result that you want? You know, realistically, can you make $50,000, $100,000 a month off a $500 investment? No, that's not going to happen. But if we either reduce what your expectations are for your monthly return or increase your monthly budget, now we have the ability to fall within the range that's going to be the most beneficial for you.
I find it interesting when we have this conversation as it relates to SEO, even asking mid-market CEOs and business owners, many of which who do not have a full-time marketing person, let's say, or if they do, it may not be a person who came from the industry. They may have grown up inside the company, you know, especially family businesses, et cetera. That role many times is kind of kept inside the house, the marketing job. Even asking them, what are the keywords that people will use to find a service like yours if they're in the market? Even starting at that level can be very difficult for that entrepreneur to articulate. Do you find that to be true? And if so, how do you help them to figure out what are the right keywords to begin to do their investment against relative to being found?
We definitely do, and we see that quite often. And to even take that a step further, when we approach, you know, companies that have that type of foundation, one of the first questions that we ask during our initial meeting, you know, we're not a company that hard sells or pushes a client into making a choice or a decision. We've always followed the mantra that we'd rather have a client choose to move forward with us because that makes for a better client, it makes for an easier relationship, and it makes for more trust and more longevity within the campaign. But when we take and we walk in and we ask the question, you know, not only how do you think they're looking for you on an online landscape, but what forms of marketing are you doing right now? We'll normally hear someone list off 2, 3, 4 different forms of marketing and immediately follow that up with, okay, which is making you the most money or what type of return are you seeing from those forms of marketing? And we always get, well, I don't know, right? So there's always a lot of unknowns within the marketing spectrum, you know, even taking it back to, you know, what is each of these different pieces bringing me? So after we get a handle on that and an idea of, okay, what's going on and how can we integrate ourselves into that, then we take it a step further and we do something called keyword research, which is exactly that. We go through, we look, and with the tools that we have and things that are readily available online, Google provides a wonderful keyword research tool through their AdWords program. We can see how many consumers search for specific key terms within their industry and how often they're searched on a monthly basis. So we have the ability to be able to laser target their specific kit in areas where there are high volumes of search. And we see in most areas, you know, and you know, this applies across the board. If we took a term, for example, Attorney Phoenix, and then added in two little letters, if you put the word in between that, Attorney in Phoenix, we see the search volume drop to about 10% of the shorter, more targeted key term. So really what we want to make sure that we do is find how those consumers are searching so that each and every dollar that's spent is going to the best possible place. And we'll go back to that plumber as an example. If I had that plumber show up for the term cigars, that's going to be absolutely no use for him. He's not going to get any business from it, and it'll be an extremely unhappy client. Hey, look, he's showing online. You're on Google, but not for the right things. And that even then goes to apply for if I had that plumber who, say, was in Phoenix, but I had him show for plumber Mesa. Well, Mesa's a smaller market. There's a lot less search volume, and he's not going to, again, see that result that he really wants. So having an understanding of how your target market is searching, what type of volume is out there, and where you should be placing your assets gives you the ability to, you know, set yourself up for success with your online marketing campaign.
Is it a fair thought, or help me to clarify my thinking on this point? If you return your search engine, your keyword search, and words that are highly popular are also words that I feel are appropriate for the services that I provide, is it a fair assumption to say, boy, if there's a lot of traffic around those set of words, it's going to take me a while to build up my ability to rank highly in those words because My assumption is other thoughtful competitors in the cyber landscape have discovered the same thing and are putting their marketing dollars against those terms as well. You know what I mean? It's not like you found this unmet niche that no one, just because if the word's popular, you might as well make an assumption that there's also people who are working hard to show up on the first page for those words as well. Is that a fair thought?
Yeah, that is exactly correct. So, you know, you normally see those two types of things go hand in hand. Search volume in relation to competition. And the tools that are out there can also give you a good idea of the competition within that specific key set as well, too. So we know going in, hey, look, this may have a lot of search volume, but there's also a lot of competition. And the thing that people that are getting into this realm now need to remember is that even though they're now making the decision or the choice to start an internet marketing or an SEO campaign, their competitors, just like you had said, have started this a long time ago. The guys that are on the first page have been working at this for years. So to think that, you know, organically in an organic section where you see a higher volume of clicks, a better percentage for an actual conversion to a sale, to think organically that you can show up against them tomorrow, something that's unrealistic. Really what you want to make sure that you do is gauge that market competition, have a good idea based on what you see, you know, within that area of, well, this key term might take 3 months, this key term might take 6 months for me to show up, for me to really get a good solid showing on that first page, which is where all the clicks happen and all the sales happen. It's going to take me a little while to get there, but once I do, is this going to bring my business a profit? Is it going to generate a revenue stream where I can then take pieces of that and reinvest into other areas, maybe get into some social media to work on a branding aspect, maybe increase my SEO campaign, maybe make some changes to my website to help increase my conversion? All of these different things can happen with that initial investment, having a good understanding and a realistic expectation of where you're going to be.
Boy, final thought on my part, and then we're going to take our first sponsorship break here, Michael, and that is I could see if the project isn't scoped properly with a client to begin with, and they have somewhat unrealistic expectations or the time frame that they expect the results, they could almost pull the – I'm sure some clients have pulled the plug on the program right before it got to the tipping point where the months of – or weeks or whatever of investment they made in search engine optimization is about to begin to pay off, and they lose confidence that it's a continued good investment for them. Is that final thought? Is that, could you see that scenario? Have you seen that scenario play out?
Yeah, we definitely have seen that happen before, and that's always a really disappointing thing for us. You know, we see that as a failure on our end. Something we talk about, and you know, we have weekly meetings with all of our agents in office throughout our entire organization, make sure that we're all on the same track, presenting the same things, and moving in the right direction, keeping up to date with market trends and things like that. But one of the things I feel like I touch on almost each and every week is managing expectations. If we fail to properly manage expectations, that's a failure that's going to lead to that client not getting the result that they need or the result that they want. So having that initial understanding, doing the research, really getting a solid base foundation lends to an agent being able to get in and make the correct recommendations. We never walk into a meeting blind without an understanding of what's going on in the market, an understanding of what that client's doing and where we would like to see them go. You know, and without doing that, again, we're just going to be making blind recommendations that may or may not produce the effect that client is looking to get.
Can you stay with us a bit longer? I've got some other questions that I'd like to talk to you about if you have the time to spend with us
here
on Coast to Coast. Okay, so Michael, when we come back, I'm going to ask you, we've kind of talked around and through SEO. I'm fascinated by, and I'd like your assistance to educate our audience and myself personally on internet marketing services. And so I'm going to tee that up, ladies and gentlemen. Michael and I are going to have that conversation when we come back. But now we're going to take a break for these words from our valued sponsors.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.smartbusinessnetwork.com. sbnonline.com.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is your host, Rick Franzi. Michael Donato is my guest, and we are talking about search engine optimization, and now we're going to spend a little bit of time understanding what do you mean and what services do you provide relative to internet marketing.
All right. So to start off, I think one of the big ones, you know, when we take a look at this different spectrum, we kind of touched on earlier all the different things that we do as a company. You know, but from a business owner's perspective, the one that they feel the most comfortable with, the one that they really want to jump on very quickly, is social media marketing. You know, taking a look at getting your business on Facebook, on Twitter, looking at having a LinkedIn presence or a custom YouTube channel, all of these different things that you can have. And we actually find that, you know, most businesses gravitate towards this area because it's the most comfortable, right? If I was in a room right now with 100 people and, you know, I asked, well, how many of you have a Facebook account, we'd see almost all the hands go up, right? It's them, their daughter, their son, family members, you know, they know people or they personally have an account with one of these services. So you see a lot of businesses jumping towards that direction of social media marketing. We think it's a wonderful platform, an absolutely amazing way to get out and get in front of your customers. But it serves a little bit of a different purpose than SEO. When we talked about SEO, that's strictly lead generation with a little bit of brand management, you know, mixed in, but mainly lead generation. When you look at social media marketing, what you're actually looking at is brand recognition and top-of-mind advertising. In SEO, we use the term ROI, you know, return on investment. And SMM, we use the same thing, ROI, but return on influence. So how are you reaching out? How are you getting to your customers? And how are you keeping yourselves on top of their mind? We use that same example as the plumber that we talked about earlier. Well, that plumber who had himself on SEO and gained a client through Google did a wonderful job for that client, helped them out, fixed their pipes, did a great job, and sent them on their way. If they didn't send them on the way with any type of drip plan or retention plan for that client, that may be the last time that they see them or they may never see a referral from that client. If they then funnel that client into, you know, let's say a social media campaign, they then have the ability to keep themselves on the top of that client's mind. So when that client that had wonderful service from that plumbing company maybe is at their friend's home and they're having a dinner party or something like that and they notice a leaky pipe at their friend's house, their friend says, yeah, I've been meaning to get that fixed, their immediate response is, you know what, I know a great plumber. Here's his name, here's his number, give him a call, he's going to do great work, he's going to give you a good deal, and he's going to take care of you. And that's really the strength of social media, bringing in that repeat and that referral business. But the key factor to that is you have to have the business coming in first in order to be able to generate repeat and referral.
You know, it seems to me as well that these social media networks, these advertising channels to customers cannot be thought of as especially if you're a service provider. Maybe if you're in a trade where you can offer discounts and specials and you can be there when they need you. The plumber is a perfect opportunity example for that. But if you're a service provider, B2B service provider, those channels give you an opportunity to create brand awareness and differentiation for yourself if you're willing to make a commitment to thought leadership, to education, to information sharing, to educating your audience and potential prospects and giving away potentially some intellectual property that you have as a service provider that you feel very proud of and maybe have guarded it, but you, my experience is they become powerful networks to connect you with people who value a service provider who has that ability and that level of knowledge. Has that been your experience, or could you put a finer point on what I just said, or disagree with it if you feel what I'm saying is incorrect?
No, I think that that's exactly in the right direction. One of the cautions that we give to our clients on a regular basis is no one wants to see you post that 10% special or that 10% deal every single day. Really what they want, just like you said, is they want valuable information. You need to remember that when you're on, you know, a platform like Facebook, you're one in a billion. There's not a lack of competition out there. There's not a lack of people competing for that market's attention. So if you want to rise above to the top of that, what you really need to do is engage and interact by being informative and by being personal. So giving away that information, talking about things within your industry that are interesting, that actually put a value to your reader's time, and then engaging them on a personal level with things that you might find, you know, for say a funny video, or, you know, maybe a great email that you came across, you know, things like that, which are really going to bring that personal aspect, right? We're using these networking bases as a foundation for communication, as a foundation for connection, not as a foundation to get a commercial. So we really want to make sure that we keep that in mind when we're out there doing that management and you know, out interacting on behalf of the client.
Yeah, I think interruption marketing or whatever, I need to be careful, I don't want to use the incorrect terms, but if you try to use, if companies try to use social media networks to do traditional marketing and advertising, I find they have, not that it has no effect, it actually has a negative effect on their brand, because that is not what the people who are using those networks as an information source are expecting to get from their potential providers of services. My experience is the BS meter, if you will, it really rings loudly when people aren't thinking about the medium as the message and adjusting their way that they're marketing their firm to the vehicles that they're using. Is that, can you connect with that? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, that's exactly correct. I think the thing that, you know, all business owners want to remember that as a society, we've found ways and we've become very adept at tuning out commercials, right? We invented DVRs for our TV so that we could fast forward through the commercials so that we wouldn't need to watch them. You know, so this is something that's out there that we need to make sure that we keep in mind. If you just state these types of things, if you just consistently put out a deal or promotion and you're not an industry like a bar or a restaurant, if you take a nightclub, nightly drink specials, things like that are absolutely amazing, but that's really the only area where you see that work. Everybody else, you have to be out there creating that relationship, engaging with consumers, and using the platform for what it's intended to be. And it's intended to create those personal connections through an online space.
People don't make, let me just say, I don't want to be a blanket statement, but generally speaking, the people that are in your personal friend network have a, there's a value to the friendship that you get. So, and it can get pretty deep. And I think on a business level, when you're using social networking, you really need to understand what the other party expects to get as value from that. And so I agree with you. If you're a bar and you offer ladies' night, and with this coupon you get something that that person views as valuable, then that's totally appropriate. But if you show up in a market and you try to offer something as a discount when the people that are there don't really perceive a discount as a value, negative to your brand and shut you down. People will not look for your messages in the future, and if anything, they will unsubscribe from your feeds and stop following you or communicating with you because there's not a, it's not a valuable relationship for their time.
Yeah, and that's completely spot on. And the thing that, you know, that we want to remember is that the influence that we have on a social network, by losing one follower or one like, you know, or having somebody unsubscribe from your feed or your channel, by losing those things, we're not just losing that one person. We're losing all of the people that person is connected with as well, too, and the influence that they have on their own personal sphere of influence. So you know, remembering that and remembering the value of these relationships and how much farther it goes just beyond that initial seen face value, we have the ability to really put the correct importance to it, that each person that spends the time to like or follow us or subscribe is really committing to something that we can use to further, you know, whatever our intentions are within that space. You know, whether it be to, you know, bring a brand out of maybe some bad press or some bad, you know, recognition that they've gotten within the market, maybe expand to a new market or a new area. Maybe just put a friendly face to something that might not seem that friendly. You know, using that tool in that way gives us the ability to change that landscape and really, really get the most effectiveness from it.
We're going to take our second and final sponsorship break, and I'm going to ask you here if you can stay with us, because I know your firm helps your clients with video and video production and the use of video on their website, and I'm really curious about this emerging area. Are you able to stay with us to share your insights in that area of conversation?
Yeah, sure. No problem at all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. We got Michael Donato to say, yeah, he's going to stay for the third and final segment of Critical Mass Coast to Coast, and so we will be right back, but first, let's share these words with our valued sponsors.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com. Or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Michael Donato is with us. National PC Solutions is his firm. So before the break, we said we're going to get into video production and the power of video on clients' websites. So help us to understand how people are using video to gain awareness and also bring clients closer to them.
Definitely. You know, one of the biggest things, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, you know, we talked about the oversaturation of content online, whether it be through the search engines on your Facebook or a Twitter account. There's never a lack of information, a lack of things that you can look at. And this is really where video production comes into play. With a video, you have the ability to engage a consumer a lot faster than if you ask them to, you know, say, read a paragraph or two of text on your website. What we see mainly now, and we can see this through extensive analytics, you know, on all of our clients' websites, if you don't engage your client, your potential client, within the first 15 seconds, you're going to lose them. How easy is it to click the back button on your browser and go to that next website on Google? It's absolutely simple. It happens within seconds. So by taking a video, touching on your key points, and creating a relationship with your, you know, with your potential consumer, your potential client, you have the ability to create that engagement, bring them through further steps, through a further marketing cycle on your website, and you increase the possibility of the conversion or, you know, getting that phone call, getting that email, whatever your final intent is, you know, with your online property.
What's your experience as it relates to the optimum length of the video?
This area is a little dependent, and you're going to see, you know, different opinions in different, you know, in different sections. The length of the video, you know, can vary based on the type of video. Are you doing a client testimonial? Are you talking about yourself or your business? So is it the business owner going on giving a statement about their business, what separates them, and why that client should call or contact them? Are you looking at a product or a service? So maybe a manufacturing company that has a product that's unlike anything else within the industry, it may take more than 30 seconds to, you know, to show that information or to describe it. So really, the length of the video is going to depend on a few different factors and what the optimal length is. But what you want to make sure you do and what you want to remember is that you have about 10 to 15 seconds with that video to truly engage the client. If they don't see something that they like, if they don't see something interesting, if they don't see something that piques their personal interest, they're going to, you know, exit out of it and move on and go to the next. So really getting that, engaging that client in the initial few seconds of that video becomes vitally important.
What about production quality, video quality? What's your experience in that arena?
You know, and again, you know, this is something that, will base industry to industry. You know, sometimes we do say, and this does have few exceptions, you know, a video is better than no video, but in reality, it's really going to be based on the industry. If you're a firm that's running, you know, $1, $5, $10 million a year, you really do not want to have a low quality or low production video. You know, one of the things that we talk about and that we go over quite often is the internet gives an amazing opportunity to, and it works both ways, right? A small or medium-sized business present themselves as a large business with their online space, with high-quality videos, high-quality graphics, wonderfully laid-out website, the correct marketing tools and the marketing procedures. But that also can work adversely. A larger firm, or even a small to medium-sized business that fails to tend to their online space can present themselves as smaller than they are. They can really turn away a consumer, turn away a customer. So keeping that in mind, you know, even when it comes down to just the video production itself, is something that's really important. You want to make sure that you have the correct quality that represents either where you are today or where you would like your clients to see you being, so the image that you're looking to display to them.
I've read in certain areas, and tell me if this is your experience, maybe it's a false memory on my part, I'm willing to admit that, but I'd like your insight, that people watching your website will tolerate poor quality video before they will accept poor quality audio. Is that true from your experience?
Yes, yeah, and we do see that. You know, so when you talk about poor quality video, we can talk about the type of camera used for the actual video recording, maybe even within the editing, so the types of transitions that you're using, the text overlay, you know, those specific types of things. But when you get into poor quality audio, that's something that becomes very distasteful, and you do see a consumer tend to turn away from that. So, again, keeping that in mind, when you're looking to move into these areas, you know, making sure that you're working with a company that has a good portfolio, that has, you know, things that you can take a look at that really lend themselves or can show you the type of quality that they can do, is something that's extremely important. A lot of times, and even touching back to what we talked about during the beginning, you know, of this conversation, we look at, you know, my mother's brother, sister's cousin, you know, works at XYZ company and he can do video production or he can make my website or he can do my SEO or create my Facebook and he'll do it for next to nothing. He'll do it for $49, $99, $200. But in an online space, when you have such a giant pool of competition and such an enormous possibility to bring in consumers, cheaper is not always better. You know, it's not apples to apples to apples. You could be looking at apples to oranges to pears to a rotten grapefruit, really. But we want to make sure that you go back to doing that research, taking a look at the company that you're choosing for these types of things, looking at their portfolio, gauging the abilities that they have, and then pairing that with the price that you're looking at. So what is the actual true value of the service that I'm purchasing? It may be $500 over here and $5,000 over here, but if the $500 video turns away clients and the $5,000 video gains me clients, which has a better value?
I agree. I think that's true in any my direction to my clients who are CEOs and business owners in Orange County is I encourage them to hire their suppliers and service providers and find the best they can afford, because you're going to get more value back if you're able to make a bigger commitment and find people that are the best you can. You rarely come out ahead in the end by going with someone who's way less expensive, or you're saving significantly, because I do think there's a price to be paid for that. People are able to get in the marketplace a fee for their service because the marketplace has over time deemed it to be a value at that price.
Exactly. And you know, by going for the lowest price, essentially what you're doing is guaranteeing that you're going to need to do it twice. And in the long run, you don't end up saving the money. You end up losing the money from round one. So I think you said it, and the way that you explained it is absolutely amazing. You know, getting the best for what you can afford. So having a good understanding of what is my budget for this area of services, how much am I willing to spend, and how much do I need to make in order for that to be a positive investment for me, a profitable endeavor. Having an understanding of that and then sitting down with someone knowledgeable within the industry and having a real and honest conversation of here's how much I can spend and here's how much I need to make, is this possible, is what's going to really put you in the right direction. You know, as we touched on before, if you needed to make $50,000 a month from a $500 a month investment, it might not be the best area for you to get into because it's just not realistic. But having an understanding of where you are and where you need to be really gives you the ability to tailor a campaign around your specific need that's going to garner the correct result.
You have been a marvelous guest, and you have given great information. I am so happy that Steve Pincus from Renaissance Executive Forums brought you to our attention, that you were willing to spend not only a beginning episode with us, but the entire Critical Mass Coast to Coast radio show today. How does someone locate your business? What's your website?
All right. So the website is nationalpcsolutions.com. And actually, we're right in the middle of a rebranding right now. So as we touched on earlier, you know, we started as a residential and commercial IT company, and that name fit us perfectly at that time. But, you know, today we've really expanded beyond that. You know, so up and coming, actually tomorrow is our official launch date for our new brand. You can find us at myhelixhouse.com.
Can you spell that, please?
Yeah, it's myhelixhouse.com. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-588-2188.
Michael, I cannot thank you enough for the amount of valuable content and insight that you shared on the radio program today, and welcome to the Renaissance Executive Forums business community, and thank you for being a friend of the program.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you were lucky ones to be able to listen live, we want to thank you for your thoughts and questions, and also want to encourage you to tell your friends about this program, not just Critical Mass Coast to Coast, which airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. here on octalkradio.net, but also this specific interview with Michael Donato of National PC Solutions, soon to be Helix House, because I think it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs can learn from listening to his answers to my questions and get a confidence level about their ability to get a return on the investment in this area of investment that they need to make for marketing their firm. If you're listening to us today live here on octalkradio.net, then I strongly encourage you to keep your computer, your smartphone tuned in to this radio station. Doug Gefeller, a good close friend of mine, is coming up next at the top of the hour with his show, The Coaching Perspective. So do not change that dial, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe take a break, but come back ready to learn. Doug's got a fascinating show for you planned today here on octalkradio.net. This is Rick Franzi saying until the next time we have a chance to talk, here's hoping that all of your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on octalkradio.net.